In 1884 and 1885, over a period of 15 months, two authors completed books that would become landmarks of American fiction and nonfiction. Mark Twain finished and published the novel he had started and then shelved years earlier, His Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Twain also published the memoir of Ulysses S. Grant, the hero of the Union Army in the Civil War, then a two-term president of the United States, and then in retirement a Wall Street banker whose firm was fleeced by his partner. The memoir, completed on his deathbed, rescued Grant's widow from the threat of poverty. Mark Perry has written a book about how those two books were linked. It's called Grant and Twain. Mark Perry, first, the relationship between the two men. Twain was younger, and like many Americans of his day, he worshipped Grant.
Yeah, no question. These were two very different individuals. Twain did not fight in the Civil War except for a very short time, didn't like it, and left. Grant was the hero of the Civil War. One was viewed as a very public figure, almost a raffish or rakish kind of character, whereas Grant was modest and almost shy, diffident, self-effacing. That certainly wasn't true of Twain at all. So they were very different and of different generations, but the one thing that they had in common was the Civil War and the question over slavery.
Another thing they had in common was a preoccupation and admiration for those who made a lot of money and a need for money.
Yes, this was the Gilded Age. Then, and I suppose to a certain extent now, there was great public admiration for the captains of industry. The admiration went deep in both men. Twain, his whole life, wanted to be rich, wanted to be considered a corporate head, a mover and a shaker, and that was true of Grant, which is why he entered a Wall Street brokerage firm.
Which collapsed in a scandal, not unlike some of the scandals we've seen in recent years on Wall Street.
That's very true, and the investors in this firm, depending on the good name of Grant, were fleeced. But Grant was fleeced, too. Within literally a period of hours, he went from a very rich man to penury, and it really preyed on him in the last months of his life.
In 1884, Twain had this, this manuscript in the drawer somewhere of Huckleberry Finn that he had just stopped. And had he not stopped at that point, it might not have turned into the masterpiece it is.
That's right. It was, for me, a fascinating story, and I've been following the story for 20 years trying to figure out what was it about Twain that he couldn't finish Huckleberry Finn. He just dropped it right in the middle of it, and then he picked it up again. And I think the key to understanding Huckleberry Finn is to understand Twain's relationship with Grant. After a certain point in the book of Huckleberry Finn, Twain had to face taking a slave, Jim, further into Southern Territory. Why would he do that? Well, this became a parallel life, I think. I think it's at least suggestive that this is a parallel life of Ulysses S. Grant and his own trip down the Mississippi to free the slaves. And when Twain made that decision, he finished Huckleberry Finn in a flurry, and it became a masterpiece.
That as Twain has convinced Grant to write his memoirs and for Twain to publish them, he is experiencing his own Civil War, his own emancipation of the slaves through the novel Huck Finn.
I think that that's exactly right and key. Both men in their lives were products of their time, and the issue in their time, the question of their time, was slavery. And I think very clearly Huckleberry Finn is the story about how a young white boy and how all of us deal with the question of the African Americans amongst us. And the strongest character I would claim in Huckleberry Finn was Jim, the slave, who taught Huck about our fellow citizens.
In their books, as you tell the story, both Grant and Mark Twain grasp the nettle of slavery, but they're unfinished in this regard. They're people who recognize the evil that had been represented by slavery, that persisted in racism, and didn't see that evil in themselves.
That's right. They both wrestled with the problem. It was a key part of their lives. Twain did not believe he was a racist until he took a worldwide tour and in India saw a native slapped by a British aristocrat. And that moment transported him back to Hannibal, Missouri, and his father slapping a slave. I think in the book, a very powerful symbol of how Twain started to grapple with his racism and realized he hadn't really wrestled it down yet.
This is what he wrote, as you quoted, in Following the Equator, having seen this cuffing of the slave, as he described it, for just one second, all that goes to make the me in me was in a Missourian village on the other side of the globe, vividly seeing again these forgotten pictures of 50 years ago, and wholly unconscious of all things but just those. And in the next second I was back in Bombay, and that kneeling native's smitten cheek was not done tingling yet. Back to boyhood 50 years, back to age again another 50, and in a flight equal to the circumference of the globe, all in 2 seconds by the watch.
Oddly, this was the last part I wrote of the book, and it was because the book was ready to go to the publisher, and I was reading Following the Equator, and I ran across this, and I hadn't remembered running it across before. It's a very, very powerful part of Twain's legacy, the realization that he has yet to really understand his own racism. Grant went through the same thing. In the Army in Tennessee, when he was a commander, and he looked at the long lines of slaves following his army, he turned to his aide, John Rawlins, and he said, "I don't understand these people. I don't know these people." So for both of them, this was an issue that hung over everyone, that really motivated them, and I think it's very clear in each of their writings that this is what they're writing about.
The relationship between these two men was a business relationship. It was a friendship. It was a case of hero worship, Twain to Grant. Do we know what Grant made of Twain?
Grant liked Twain, it's very clear, and he admired Twain, but Grant was a different kind of an individual. He didn't hero worship. He took, as he said, "I take one person at a time and judge them on their own merits." He enjoyed Twain's company because Twain knew when to be quiet. Grant was the kind of person who was never uncomfortable with silence. Twain always needed to fill it. It took a while, but Twain understood finally the kind of personality that Grant had. They were very close. They were so close that at the end, when Grant had his funeral and the long parade in New York, Twain didn't feel that he had to attend. He had already said his goodbyes to his very good friend. And frankly, I think Twain would admit himself that after the death of Grant, this was a friendship he returned to again and again and again in his writing. It overawed him, and it motivated much of his life.
Mark Perry, thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Mark Perry is the author of Grant and Twain, the story of a friendship that changed America.